You're a nummy treat. Come on, talk to Daddy.
Bloody hell, woman, you're cutting off my circulation.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 14 of NakedSpike.com fanfic. You notice that I might have changed the name to Naked Spike Fanfic. This just lets people know that we do read fanfic here, and I thought I would change that in the title. Here in this community, we read all of the fanfic that is found on the LiveJournal community of Naked Spike. There are plenty of manips or icons also at Naked Spike that you can look at for your viewing pleasure. There are several ones. We are awaiting the April challenges. And the story that I bring you today is from one of the Naked Number challenges, and it is by Rockstar Peach. Now, the naked numbers that they got were Wesley, Fur, School, and Daddy Kink. And the fanfic is going to be read by Andy. The rating of this fanfic is adult, so I would say if you are under the age of 18, please be respectful to yourself and do not listen. Here's the story.
Indulge me. Wesley shivered in the chillier than usual air and pulled the coat he was wearing tighter around himself. The fur lining on the collar tickled his nose, and he wrinkled it, snorting a little bit to get the hairs out. Stupid bloody random cold snap, and stupid bloody Angel and his stupid bloody coat. Angel had sent Spike and he out on assignment, reconnaissance, and he hadn't had time to stop by home first, so he'd had to borrow his coat. Well, Angel said it was his, but Wesley thought that it must have belonged to a woman. Spike, I really don't think this is such a good idea. Oh, live a little, Wes, Spike told him, giving the doorknob a firm twist and grinning as the lock broke under the force and the door swung open. They'd finished up their work a few minutes ago, and now Spike wanted to have a little fun. Seriously, Wesley said as he followed Spike through the door and down the hall. A school? Can't you think of any place less creepy? He asked, looking around as they walked at the pictures of mascots and lists of grades taped to doors and poster boards full of large, bright letters. Not unless you want to do it on someone's front lawn, Spike told him, peeking into each room as they walked past, looking for just the right one. This is a residential neighborhood, Wes. It's either this or the church. He snorted as he turned around to see Wesley's horrified look at the thought of committing sodomy with a vampire in a house of God. Thought so. Oh yeah, he decided, considering the previous conversation closed. This one. He broke the lock on the door of the classroom, just like he had the one to the front door of the school, and waltzed inside, turning and raising an eyebrow at Wesley, expecting him to follow. Wesley did, with a sigh. Fine. Let's just get this over with. Oh, just what a bloke loves to hear. Well, Wesley said, exasperated, if you could just wait 20 minutes until we got back to my place, I guarantee I'd be a lot more enthusiastic. Yeah, well, if I could wait 20 minutes, you and I would never have gotten together in the first place, Spike told him, smirking and stripping out of his shirt. That was true. Their relationship had started because he'd been at Wolfram and Hart late one night, the only one of the lot of them, and Spike had been there, apparently suddenly deciding that he was horny, and he'd insisted that Wesley help him out. Wesley, of course, had tried to protest, but Spike had been very convincing. It wasn't as if it was Wesley's fault. Anyone would have done the same thing he did if Spike had strode into their office, all sex and attitude, and kissed them like they'd never been kissed before falling to his knees. And there had probably been some kind of spell involved, Wesley was sure. As I said, fine, Wesley repeated, but I'm not taking all my clothes off. This is... He looked around, his face contorting in disgust. This looks like a kindergarten classroom. We cannot do it in a room where four-year-olds learn the alphabet. Wanna bet? Just about 3 minutes later, Wesley found that he was right about one thing and wrong about another. They were indeed doing it in a room where four-year-olds learn the alphabet, but at least he remained almost fully clothed. He was bent over the teacher's desk, and he supposed that was better than one of the students, and he should be grateful for that, with his pants pulled down to his thighs and Spike hammering into him like it was some kind of race to see who could come first. He was still wearing Angel's stupid coat, the fur rubbing against the back of his neck and his ears now, and it didn't seem as bad as it did a few minutes ago. fuck, Spike, he moaned, pushing back into the thrusts. He hadn't wanted this, but since Spike had insisted, he figured he might as well get into it. Call me Daddy, Spike said, holding Wesley's arms down on the desk and snapping his hips forward extra hard. What? Spike, I'm already letting you fuck me in a grade school. I'm not about to call you. Come on, Spike whispered in his ear. Indulge me. Don't be absurd. Spike, you're most certainly not my father, and even thinking about the two of you at the same time is... Well, I'm starting to lose my erection. So if you could just hurry up and finish, I think I can still make it home in time to catch Leno. Maybe that's your problem, Wes. Your dad is a ripe bastard, and you need a better one. One that'll treat you like a good little boy should be treated, punish you when you need it, and reward you when you're good. Have you been good, Wes? He asked, rotating his hips slightly and wrapping his fist around Wesley's cock. Or have you been a very naughty boy? I'm sorry, Spike, Wesley told him, shaking his head. I'm just not into this. I understand that Angel has conditioned you to feel certain things. Oi! Spike cut him off and made to bite at his neck. He wouldn't have actually bit him, much, but he wanted to give him a warning. He couldn't, though, because Angel's big, stupid, girly coat was in the way. So, instead of just taking it off his boyfriend, which would have been the smart thing to do, he went underneath it, sliding his head along Wesley's back and his arms along his arms, so that essentially they were both wearing it. It was a rather tight fit, but the fact that they could both get inside was just more proof that the git needed to lose weight. And he didn't care what Wesley said. It was definitely Angel's coat. He placed blunt human teeth to Wesley's neck, threaded his fingers through Wesley's when they'd poked out of the armholes on the coat, and growled, hips somehow not losing their rhythm. This has nothing to do with Angel. He didn't. And there wasn't. And I sure as hell wouldn't have ever... Oh, shut up and call me Daddy, you bleeding tosser. Wesley rolled his eyes, thinking that he was nowhere near turned on by any of this, and was absolutely going to get nothing out of it. But Spike seemed to really want it, and somehow, over the past months, Spike's happiness had come to mean something to him. Yes, he started, swallowing and tilting his hips back. Daddy, I've been a very good boy. Daddy, please. I deserve a reward. Oh yes, baby boy, Spike said, half smiling, half snarling into the back of Wesley's neck. Yes, you have, and Daddy's gonna reward you real good. Wesley resisted the urge to roll his eyes again, not that Spike would have seen it, and tried not to gag. This was so very much not his thing. At least, that's what he thought, until Spike switched the angle of his thrusts, hitting Wesley's prostate every time, and moved both their hands, connected by the sleeve of the coat, to Wesley's cock, fisting it again and rapidly pumping it. There were lips on his ears and fangs on his neck, gently piercing, and some vague litany of how very good a boy Wesley had been for Daddy, and how good boys deserve the very best sorts of things. And then he was pretty sure Spike was coming, but he wasn't paying all that much attention, because he certainly was, and damn, but it was one of the greatest orgasms he'd ever had, in the kindergarten classroom of a fucking schoolhouse, and after he'd called Spike Daddy, and damn. Perhaps all this had more potential than he'd realized. He knew he should really try to get up, to make Spike get up and get them back home, fast, but he was having a hard time moving. He did manage to grunt somewhat unsexily and give Spike a shove, and the vampire responded by pulling out of him and, starting to stand, pulling Wesley up partway with him before falling back to the desk. He jerked and shifted a little, moving his arms and tossing Wesley's around, shimmying his shoulders, his back, his neck, shaking Wesley as he moved. And then he was still. Spike, don't tell me you're... Wesley started, unable to finish. Oh, he was never letting Spike do something like this to him again. No way in hell. Probably. Wes? No. I think we're stuck.
This fanfic made me laugh. I really liked it. I hope all of you did too. Have a great week, and I encourage all of you, if you have not already done so, go visit the LiveJournal community of Naked Spike and see what's happening for the month of April, and leave some feedback for the authors, too, especially if you enjoyed the stories. I leave you now with a promo for Scott Sigler's book, Contagious. Go visit Scott Sigler on over at scottsigler.com.
Many were infected. Infected with a disease that thinks, a disease that talks, and as the victims finally succumbed, a disease that walks. One man fought back. He resisted the voices. Perry Dawsey carved out pieces of himself in a desperate attempt to survive. He won. But as Perry awakes in a government hospital, he realizes he can still hear those voices. It's not over. And now it's even worse, because the infection has become contagious. Contagious is the bloody sequel to Scott Sigler's horror thriller, Infected. Available now, online and in bookstores everywhere. Perry's back, and he's got one question for you. Do you feel itchy?